I was thinking about the last episode I did when it came to Sarah's fear. When she died of amazement or of a heart attack, what did Yahuwah do? Did he raise Sarah from the dead? No, he did not. He gave him Keturah and 6 more sons. So if you're worried about your woman having too much fear about what happens in this world, just let her know you better not die of a heart attack or die of amazement, because a real man of Yahuwah will get replenished with whatever he needs. I think that should be in the back of females' minds. Like, it starts with the man. That's where it starts. That's where the order happens. It's Yahuwah, Yahusha, the man of the head, a man or head of the household, then there's the woman, and then it's the kids. And if that man is walking in a purpose fit for Yah, he's going to make sure that man is not removed from off that path. Not to say that men don't go through their own fear, because I was reading Sirach 40 verses 1 through 10, and it talks about this particular type of fear that's on all the sons of men. It says, great travail is created for every man, and a heavy yoke is upon the sons of men, from the day that they go out of their mother's womb to the day that they return to the mother of all things. Their imagination of things to come and the day of death trouble their thoughts and cause fear of heart. From him that sits on the throne of glory unto him that is humbled in the earth and ashes. From him that wears purple and a crown unto him that is clothed with a linen frock. Wrath and envy, trouble and unquietness, fear of death and anger and strife, and in time of rest upon his bed, his night sleep, do change his knowledge. A little or nothing is his rest, and afterward he is in his sleep as in a day of keeping watch. Troubled in the vision of his heart, as if it were escaped out of a battle. When all is safe, he awakens and marvels that the fear was nothing. Like I said, the last episode, false evidence appearing real, the acronym of fear. Such things happen unto all flesh, both man and beast, that is sevenfold more upon sinners. So not to say man is without fear or without struggling with what's to come, if it will come. Even in this walk, will I be saved? Am I doing enough? Those are healthy fears, especially when you're in fear of the Most High Yahuwah. Are you doing the Shabbats right? Are you offering? Are you on the right calendar? Is the feast days good enough for them to be acceptable by Yah? Those are things that men should fear more than fearing the world. But upon sinners, it's sevenfold. Death and bloodshed, strife and sword, calamities, famine, tribulation, and the scourge, these things are created for the wicked, and for their sakes came the flood. So we don't share the same type of fears. The fear of Yahuwah and the fear of this world are two different things. And if you're with a partner who's doing more of fearing the world than fearing Yahuwah, then it is going to be a problem in your relationship, especially when it really starts to cook out here. Because you can't have strife in your household when you're trying to lead through courage. And you really shouldn't fear anyway, because the Most High has stated more than a couple of times. I know in Daniel, he said this about 4 or 5 times in Daniel. But I'm going to read one in Daniel 4, 16 and 17 that lets you know who's really in charge. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let 7 periods of time pass over him. We know the story of Nebuchadnezzar, how he was given the heart of an animal, and he went roaming around the wilderness as an animal, which is supposed to be the most toughest, biggest, baddest God king that have ever lived. But the Most High humbled him so much that he was like a beast in the field. So who would be the biggest and baddest man of all of this generation? There really isn't one, because we all know that they're all puppets to Israel. And we all know Israel is not that tough. They do a lot of talking, but they're not that tough. The Arabs have kings, they have sultans, they have princes and crown princes that are rich beyond measure. But it don't mean they're tough. That's what agitates me about this entire world, is that the people who are ruling over us have never swung their fist in any fight. That's what agitates me more, is people truly following people who have not walked a warrior or a soldier's life. They've paid people to do or step in for them. You think Donald Trump has ever been brave in his entire life? I doubt it. You ever think Benjamin Netanyahu has ever been brave or courage or a warrior in his life? I doubt it. A lot of them are just puppets, pieces on the chessboard that the Most High uses. It says in 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that El Elyon rules in the kingdom of men, and it gives it to whomsoever he will, and sets up over it the basis of men, which is the lowest degree of man. And the Most High said this 4 or 5 times in just in the book of Daniel, stressed that he rules in the kingdom of men. The same book that the Antichrist is talked about. So you should already know that the Most High controls the Antichrist. He is the one that's going to reveal the Antichrist in the end times. No matter what temple they pretend to build, no matter how many red heifers they prepare to sacrifice, it don't matter. It is the Most High's call whether that Antichrist comes out in a month or two, or 2 months, or 3 years, or 7 years. It's by his hand. So what are we even fearing about? Why are we even shook? To back that up, Yirmiyahu 27:5-7, it says, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seems meet unto me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, my servant, and the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him, and his son, and his son's son, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. Just as he did to us, it's just as it's going to happen to them. And I had this, not even an argument, but I had a post on TikTok that talked about us being the only people that are connected to the book that go by the tribe. Because everybody we went into captivity to or had power over us, they are gone. Because in Yirmiyahu, it talks about how the Most High said that he's going to make a full end of the nations that we were scattered to, but he won't make a full end of us. I don't see anybody out here calling themselves Canaanites, Philistines, Jebusites, Hittites, Perizzites, the children of Medai or the Persians. And I'm not talking about the fake Middle East Persian. I'm talking about the Central African Medai Persians. When I'm talking about the Babylonians, there is no one out here talking about their Babylonian. And I'm not talking about the Middle East fake Babylonians. I'm talking about the one that's in East Africa near Sudan. Where are the Assyrians? And I'm not talking about the fake Syrians and Assyrians in the Middle East. I'm talking about Ashashur, the descendant of Shem, who are the progenitor of the Negroes. That's the Assyrians I'm talking about. Where are they? Nowhere to be found. No one in Europe who didn't even touch us, they don't even go by biblical nation. They may go by Russian, Ukraine, France, Italy, but they don't go by tribes. We are the only people alive still going by a tribe. That's when the Most High said, I will correct you in measure and not leave you all unpunished. So literally, if you just made us one entire bloodline or one entire body, just each body was getting afflicted until it became stronger. And this started when we first came out of Mitzrayim, Egypt, and took the covenant. The Most High knew we were going to struggle with that law. Not that we would fail altogether, but he knew that we would struggle with it. So proving us is to go through these captivities, in and out of these captivities, and then end up to where we are right now, where we are not trying to transgress, and we truly and fully appreciate everything the Most High has done for us. And we understand and recognize His power because we have more knowledge and understanding of what befell us that had us end up in this captive state, this destructive state, and we got tired of it. Like I said before about the Negro, we got to hit every branch on the way down before we understand where we need to be when it comes to the Most High's law, statutes, commandments. We got to go through all these captivities. We got to go through all of these religions. We got to go through all this destruction and desolation for us to finally get it. And mind you, if you are a Gentile and you're getting this understanding, blessings to you. You don't or won't have the ability to go through captivity in and out, in and out, in and out. Maybe you will. Maybe because he said, you know, when Yahushua comes back, there will be those who went into captivity, that led into captivity, shall go into captivity. That's said in Revelation, and it's also said in the book of Yirmiyahu. So somebody's going to take the fall for their ancestors, just like we took the fall for our ancestors. And the Gentiles will say, well, we never owned slaves. Why do we need to be punished? We weren't there to hang, lynch, burn your relatives. So why should we ever go into captivity? And I always say this. I said, well, the three Abrahamic, what they call the three Abrahamic religions, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, even Catholicism, they all had their hand in the transatlantic slave trade. All of them did. And the Arab slave trade went longer than the transatlantic slave trade. But nonetheless, all religions had a part of trodden us down. Now, we know in Baruch, it talks about how the Mashiach is going to come back and literally give up anybody who's ever trodden us down up to the sword. So if we caught hell for the 400 years of slavery or affliction, a children that wasn't even under Mount Sinai to take the commandments, nor know anything about biblical kings, David, Yahushua, and not knowing their own identity, it still played out the way the Most High said in prophecy of him turning his back on us. So I know that the Most High is fair and righteous and upright enough that he is going to repay vengeance to his vengeance to those who hurt, mocked, and destroyed his children, even if they aren't the ones that had a hand in it. But if you participate in those pagan feast days, if you participate in those religions, you're basically saying, I'm culpable of this destruction because I'm still following the doctrines and deeds of those who trodden down the children of Yaakov. Now, I want to go back to what I was getting at with these women being in fear. And it just so happens that one situation that right now is taking social media by storm. And it's this whole thing with Alisha Janae, who is a Miami influencer. And if you just read, like I said before in the last episode, if you read actually Sirach or Ecclesiasticus 26, it would show what type of woman she is. And this is what pains my heart sometimes dealing with the Negro community or Black America. We have an issue with when something is put in the news, everybody has to absorb that person's trauma or story, even when it has nothing to do with them. So right now, wicked Negro women are defending her by attacking Black men because she boasted about having mixed babies. She boasted about ending up with a white man because her mother is with a white man after her Black father. She's boasting about it online. And she couldn't keep her mouth shut about it. And then when she finally found this white man, Joe McCann, who is a financier of crypto, obviously he has money to spoil her. She's posting that she's in the soft life era, posting on helicopters, private jets, you know, lavish vacations and gifts, blah, 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 blah. But all of a sudden, now that she gets off by him, and you know she gets off by him because ain't no way in the world somebody on their birthday and getting engaged is going to hang themselves by suicide. Because she gets off by him, black man, it was like, well, she divested. That's her problem. That's her issue, which is fair to a degree, because obviously she was the one talking about how black men are an embarrassment. So obviously her mind has been poured out on social media. This is what she thinks about black men. And then black men said, well, this is what she get. So, of course, wicked Negro black women are going at black men saying, how can you be so boastful? Like, how y'all so proud and excited the fact this woman was killed by a white man? Why don't you ever defend us? Why don't you ever step up? Black men are the ones that's killing black women more than white men. See, we get into these stupid apple and orange arguments, what they call false equivalency arguments, because it's really stupid. It is. But this is the mind of our people. This is why in Jeremiah 4:22 or Yirmiyahu 4:22, the Most High said, we are sottish children. Sottish means stupid. We are stupid children. That we don't see anything spiritual until it affects our ideal of what a relationship is supposed to be, or our ideal of what life is supposed to be. So now her father that was on TMZ is trying to get people to donate to a GoFundMe for her funeral. This woman's talking about the soft light era. It's talking about she's an entrepreneur. And you would think all these trips and these lavish gifts that she's getting, she would have money in her bank account to pay for a funeral. And a funeral, I got, what, $5,000 to maybe $10,000 for a funeral? And if she's an influencer, of course, they're going to want to try to go above and beyond. So maybe $15,000 to $20,000 now because of who she is and now that she's in the media. So it seems to me that Joe McCann may be a Freemason, because what would he need to gain from taking her all the way out to Tanzania to unalive her, make it seem like a suicide, then bounce? And he's still posting. He's still updating on his social media. And he's disconnected himself from the family, which means the mother and the original father. And right now, that's it. That's where it's a stalemate. They're trying to find video, but come on. What video are you going to see in the middle of Tanzania and Africa? What video are you going to see? You're going to see video inside the apartment or wherever they were staying, where she hung herself? You're going to see this dude leave the hotel or come back to the hotel and be like, oh, she hung herself. You're not going to find out any information. So to me, it sounds like a Masonic hit. People keep forgetting that it ain't just celebrities out here or entertainment or Hollywood or sports that's out here sacrificing. They're out here sacrificing people for their own well-being. I mean, she made herself well-known. She made herself exposed by saying how much and how bad she wanted mixed babies and how much she wanted a white man. And I'm talking about 18 years ago, she'd been saying this. People gone through her social media, and that's all she'd been posting about. Mixed babies and ended up a white man because her mother ended up with a white man. Like, you're literally saying, put a target on my back and please target me for something that's going on. Now, this has been like the 125th black woman that's been unalive by an interracial partner. Is it a big deal? I don't think so. I mean, people from all different races, even the same races, are unaliving each other in these relationships now. They're just bringing it to the forefront. Why? I don't know. Because they need a race war. They need the agitation. And we're getting close to whatever is happening in that Strait of Hormuz. They need distractions. So they're pushing certain race stories on you so they keep you bewildered and distracted. But I saw this thing as something spiritual. So going back to Sirach 26, it says, a harlot shall be accounted as spittle, but a married woman is a tower against the death to her man. I say that again. A harlot shall be accounted as spittle, but a married woman is a tower against death to her man. If we understood these scriptures, we wouldn't be defending a harlot. We wouldn't be defending influencers, especially influencers that go out of their way to trash their own race. No one cares that you're in interracial relationships. No one cares. Really, no one cares. It's on the Most High what he chooses to do if you're living righteously in an interracial marriage or not. That's the Most High's decision on what to do with you. Truly. I'm not, I'll ever judge anybody for being in interracial relationships. But what I'm saying is, as long as you're not going out of the way to try to embarrass your own race by uplifting and exalting one, then you're good. But if you're doing more than that, that's just weird. A wicked woman is given as a portion to a wicked man, but a righteous woman is given to him that fears Yahuwah. Like I said before, our fears are completely different. If you are fearing Yahuwah, you will get everything you ask for. If you want comfort, if you want peace, if you want rest, if you want understanding, if you want knowledge, it all comes from the fear of the Most High Yahuwah. Fearing the world, there is no benefit to that. None. The more you fear the world, your actions will change based on that fear. Your emotions will change based on that fear. And you could be at risk of being a wicked woman. So they were good for each other. If we're talking spiritual, a wicked woman is given to as a portion to a wicked man. The Most High allowed that relationship to happen. Isn't he the one that has power over life and death? So it really isn't even about the white man. It's the fact that they two were linked up through wickedness, through vanity, through greed, through an image. And that's truly what happens to those who think about materialism more than they think about the fear of the Most High Yahuwah. And the funny thing about that is, the story, is that people warned her. People were warning her, and she didn't pay attention to it. She was more caring about getting her lashes filled. So she saw the warning signs. It reminds me of the movie Soul, when the character goes, "Oh, I would die a happy man if I could just play with Dorothea Williams." Now, he said that, life and death with power of the tongue type of thing. Now, what they showed you during after that phone call, he said that, is that he went through all these little obstacles where he could have died. And they were telling him, "Hey, watch where you step. Watch out. Look out the way." And then he didn't pay attention to none of that because he was so worried about if he was going to play good for Dorothea Williams that he fell in a manhole and died or was in the hospital. But there were warning signs. Most High is not going to come out of the clouds and say, "Hey, this man is going to do you dirty. Let me." No. Because if you didn't come to him, why would he come to you? I think he loved enough of his creation to at least give them a warning, a fair warning. And she didn't want to heed that warning. If you were truly in the spiritual, if you truly had a connection with him, you would know where the signs were, just as I did. I've talked about this story before, but it was a former athlete, a former football player, played for the Minnesota Vikings. And he was doing a podcast show. And he wanted me to be on this show. And it was at some place called 79 something. It said Club 79, which happens to be the year I was born. So I thought something was a little iffy. But before I went to that podcast interview, I prayed for the Most High. I said, if this is something bad is going to come up, this situation, please help me. Please get me home safe. So I, in good trust to this friend, who I would call my brother, I went down there for that podcast. It was about 8 or 9 o'clock. I see them bringing in boxes of liquor, like it was a club or a lounge, and it was like pink and blue balloons up in the ceiling, like it was just used for a party or something. And then he had a Baphomet shirt on, a Baphomet that was in football pads. And it was a black and white shirt. I thought that was kind of iffy. And he was acting weird. He wasn't acting himself. He was kind of, his head was down. And he was like nervous. But I don't know what he was being nervous about. Then the sound guy, he was moving back and forth. Like he was on coke or something. But he wouldn't sit still. It's like they all were nervous. And then these random men show up. Don't know who they were, but just randomly they all showed up. And then they started talking about stories of how some people got shot in the club and they were all at this club for some reason and somebody got shot and they had to step over dead bodies and they wanted to start taking shots after, you know, after a certain amount of time went by, they wanted to take shots I think she said the woman that was doing the podcast with him, like, oh, let's take a shot every time somebody says this or something like that. So they brought out liquor. So this dude, who I don't even know, came and sat down in front when I was getting ready to go on stage to do this podcast. He was like, be funny. Don't say nothing depressing. I was like, that's an odd thing for somebody to say to you before you're doing a podcast interview, is to go be funny and don't say anything depressing. So I kept that in the back of my mind. So then I go off to the side and I leave the stage and I sit down and they hand me a Patron. I take a little sip of it and then my stomach crunched up. Like the Most High or the Ruach grabbing me in my stomach. It's like, yo, you need to go. I said, that was weird. And I didn't think nothing of it. So I tried to take another sip of the Patron and it happened again. I said, you know what? Let me get up out of here. So I left, got in my car, went home. They were going to put me on that stage at 11 o'clock at night. So what you think was going to happen? What's been my story? Me fighting in clubs and me being drunk. So what they were going to do, they was either going to jump me. After getting me drunk, they were going to jump me. There was a door that was on the upstairs part by, I had to walk out past this door that was open, like on the roof. Like this, it was on the second story, but it was like a roof where you could walk out on the top of the first floor building. That door was open. So my thing was, they were going to jump me, stab me or beat me up and just throw me outside of that door, outside of, in the alley. And you would have found me with liquor in my system and obviously me being in a fight. And that's how I would have been sacrificed at Club 79, the year I was born. So what I'm saying is, being connected to the Father when I was going through my awakening process, he wanted me to see this, that those who you would call friends that are close to you were coming after you and tried to use you for them to be in the limelight or in the media industry, Hollywood industry, because obviously he turned around and did Love and Hip Hop Miami for a season, I think, and then that was it. But he was in Love and Miami Hip Hop. So obviously he was going to use me to better himself. Somebody I would call my brother, somebody I went to his charity events for and did things with, even went to his house, hung out with him every time I've seen him out in Miami, hung out with him like it was nothing. Then he wanted to use me as a chip. So the Most High protected me because he wanted me to see what was actually going to happen for me to come out of this world so I could be safe under his hedge. It says in verse 24, a dishonest woman contemns shame, but an honest woman will reverence her man. How can you be in fear of this world and reverencing your man? Because obviously if you're respecting your man, you're respecting his bravery. You're respecting his courage. You're respecting his ability to lead and protect and provide. You don't have time to be in fear of what the financial crisis is going to do or what Donald Trump is going to do, what the war in Iran is going to do. You don't have time for that type of fear. If you do have time for that type of fear, that means you're not reverencing your man. Because it takes two different energies and emotions to do that on a day-to-day basis and not be conflicting. You would have to do one or the other. A shameless woman shall be counted as a dog, but she that is shamefaced will fear Yahuwah. It don't say, but she that is shamefaced will fear the world. It says she will fear Yahuwah. So like I said before, this goes back into fearing this world. Are you doing more of fearing the world than you are fearing Yahuwah? Because if you're fearing the world, you're definitely not fearing Yahuwah, which would make you a shameless woman counted as a dog. A woman that honors her man shall be judged wise of all, but she that dishonors him in her pride shall be counted wicked of all. Like I said before, we're going back to this whole world thing. If you fear the world, you have a deeper respect for the world than you would your man. Because if your man is showing that he can provide, that he can protect, and that he can defend that household, then you should honor him for that. You don't have time to talk about what you fear about what's going to happen in this world. You should be reverencing and honoring. That is your job. Because on the flip side of that, Sirach 26, 13 through 16, it says, the grace of a woman delights her man, and her discretion will fatten his bones. A silent and loving woman is a gift of Yahuwah, and there is nothing so much worth as a mind well instructed. A well-instructed mind does not have time to fear and be scared. A well-instructed mind is reverencing and honoring her man. A well-instructed mind knows what goes in and out of her household and what she needs to do to contribute that household into being a healthy and a blessing for the Most High Yahuwah. As the sun when it arises in the high heaven, so is the beauty of a good woman in the ordering of her house. So just in Sirach 26, it's telling me that if you are honoring your man, reverencing your man, ordering your house as a good woman and a beautiful woman, you don't have time to be fearing and worrying about what's going on in this world. Especially if we know in Daniel and Yirmiyahu that the Most High is ruling in the kingdom of men. My favorite verse is in Genesis when it says Yahuwah is a man of war. Yahuwah is his name. Y'all need to understand where conflict comes from. That the Most High knows that man is bloodthirsty by nature. So he's going to use that bloodlust against themselves for his purpose. And this goes for both man and woman. When I was reading Sirach 33, 25 through 31, it says, if you set your servant to labor, you shall find rest. But if you let him go idle, he shall seek liberty. If you set your servant to labor, you shall find rest. If you're seeing yourself as the head of the household, a servant of Yahuwah, let him set you to labor. And not only he will find rest, but you will find rest in that labor. But if you let him go idle, he shall seek liberty. If you let your woman go idle, she shall seek fear. If you let your woman go idle, she shall seek victimhood. If you let your woman go idle, she's not honoring, reverencing, or ordering the household. A yoke and a collar do bow the neck. So are tortures and torments for an evil servant. A yoke and a collar do bow the neck. So are tortures and torments for an evil servant. Send him to labor that he be not idle, for idleness teaches much evil. We already understand this as men. We don't have time to sit around and be idle. Especially with all the rearing of the children, the protecting of the household, the financing of the household, making sure everybody is eating, making sure everybody got clothes on their back, shoes on their feet, gas in the cars. Like, men worry about these things. We don't have time to be idle. And what will destroy the relationship or the intimacy is if you have a woman that's idle, that is not doing her duty to relieve the stress of the one that's providing. Send him to labor that he be not idle, for idleness teaches much evil. Set him to work as it is fit for him. If he be not obedient, put on more heavy fetters. I understand this from Yahuwah's standpoint. That when we come into this awakening, it's for us to not be idle. Some of you don't know your calling yet, but there is a calling for you. Some of you think, oh, I'm just become awakened and I do the feast days and then I just go to work for this system and I learn how to juggle and balance between two systems, the Yahuwah system and this world system, and that's all I'm called to do. I think some of you are shying away from your purpose. That is why I had these young brothers on here to find out their purpose. One brother that I had on here thanked me because now he has a different perspective, because y'all keep this stuff, boy. You know, I get it. I truly get it, because y'all been in relationships where the stories or the vulnerability that you've given out into your relationships have blasted you in the face. So sometimes you just remain quiet and don't open up. But this is the point of me having you on the show as guest, so that you can hear yourself So you can get that struggle, get that animosity, or get that emotion off of your chest. So then when you are ready to receive the calling, you can receive it and run head on into it and perform it the way the Most High wants you to perform it. He wants to put you to work. Don't just think being a husband, a caretaker, or a student, or in your respective job, just don't think that that's it. The Most High has a calling for you. It may not be as big as starting a podcast or preaching on the street corner or all that. Maybe sometimes it's just talking to that one person that the Most High wants you to help wake up. Somebody he wants you to turn into a direction. It's almost like what Yahushua said about the parable of the servants that are given money. Some are given one penny, one pence. Some are given five, some are given 10. If you've given one, you don't go hide that one into the ground until when the Messiah comes, where your Adonijah comes back and he asks you, what'd you do with that one that he gave you? And you said, oh, I didn't do nothing with it. I buried it because I didn't want to lose it. And I just didn't want to take a risk and double it up. While everybody else, the guy who was given 10, took on that responsibility of 10 and doubled it. The person who was given five, he took on that responsibility and doubled five. But somebody that so much is given, just one can't make two? This is the whole point of understanding your calling and seeking him 10 times more when you have found him. But be not excessive toward any, and without discretion do nothing. If you have a servant, let him be unto you as a yourself, because you have bought him with a price. Which is funny, because it's also said in scripture that we are bought with a price. The price of our salvation is Yahushua. And we should be doing all that we can to repay that debt. Even though we are not going to ever be able to repay a debt to Yahushua or to Yahuwah. But damn, wouldn't you want to try? We only get one shot at this life. Just one. There are no do-overs. Not that what they're telling those Satanists and Luciferians that, oh, don't worry about it. Satan's going to be released after 1,000 years and he's going to bring us all back. When I talked about Dr. Mornay, when he did that interview about what Satan's plans was or Lucifer's plan was, I'm pretty sure that's what Lucifer is telling him. He's telling him, don't even worry. You're all going to be released when I'm released after 1,000 years and you'll be able to reign with me or try mankind with me. Don't worry about hell. It can't be all that bad if I'm being released. I can't even imagine what Satan or Lucifer is telling these people that are in these organizations that are bound to him in an oath. I can't even imagine. But I guarantee you it's a lie, because they should be more shook now than they've ever been. Because things are happening way too fast. They're not getting the opportunities that they would like. They're not getting the shine as much as they would like. I mean, look at the music industry. In the movie industry, it's slowly going into AI. Musicians aren't releasing music as fast as they used to. Remember the back in the cool days, like the 90s, where artists were just releasing mixtapes on top of their real albums. And then you seen artists pop up in other artists' music videos, even then more features and duet albums together. You're not even seeing that anymore. That's too and far between. Movies, I mean, they're not even making good scripts no more. They're force feeding an agenda through all these movies. So they have to be somewhat shook, knowing that they're bound to get replaced. Because when Satan jumps on the scene, he's going to want all of the glory for that short season. For that 36 months, for that 36 months, Satan wants all the worship. He's not going to want Hollywood or any celebrity or any artist or any pro athlete to take away from his shine. If you have a servant, entreat him as a brother, for you have need of him as of your own soul. If you entreat him evil and he run from you, which way will you go to seek him? Now, I'm not trying to say that you look at your significant other as a servant, But I'm saying, as a man or the head of the household, you are a servant to the Most High Yahuwah, and He will never entreat you. He will never do you dirty. And I said this before. I had not known the Most High to flip over anybody's household who was doing everything correct. Matter of fact, I've heard Him give out blessings, and not just the blessings of the father, but blessings to the children and the children's children that were doing it right, just over one man. The reason why we are in the covenant and we're being brought back and being renewed through the covenant has been because of Abraham, because He promised one man. The reason why David had all those kings come out of his bloodline, because He promised David. Promised David. We think we know what loyalty is. I don't think we have a clue when it comes to the Most High's loyalty and His faithfulness. When they said that even He could have raised up children of Abraham just out of rocks if He wanted to. But He chose to stick with us. He could have abandoned us and gone to another nation to show all of His Torah, His blessings, His miracles, His wonders. And if they would have accepted Him more than we would accept Him, He could have easily done that. Matter of fact, He could have easily put the Ruach of obeying the Torah and people's hearts that He truly, truly wanted after He was done with us. He could have done that as well. The Most High is not forcing Himself on us. That's the whole thing about free will. And you kind of have to respect it. That He really don't need us. If He wanted to, He could have started this world all over again. Because obviously He did it before. And He did it with 8 people. He truly don't need us. We should be fighting to stay in His good graces. We should be fighting to stay in His sunlight. Under His hedge. So I'd rather be that servant. But as being a servant in your household, you could see that still as, and treat Him as a brother, and treat Him as a lover, and treat Him or give respect or honor to the woman, as it's mentioned that Paul said in his books. Because if you treat him evil, he will run from you. If you treat your woman evil, she will run from you. If you're a woman and you treat your man evil, he will run from you. This is just a funny generation right now. It really is. People are putting themselves in jeopardy because they are in fear of this world. They're in fear of what people say about them. They're in fear of how they look to everybody else. They are in fear of people who don't matter. Because you came out of the womb by yourself. You will go into the grave by yourself. When you stand before Yahuwah, you will stand before Him by yourself. That's it. People put themselves in situations because they're so greedy. They're so scared of what people may think of them if they're not making enough money, if they're not going enough trips, if they're not wearing the fanciest clothes, if they're not eating at the most expensive restaurants. People's fear of that pulls them into judgment. It don't matter if you're in an interracial relationship or not, but you pull yourself into judgment because you're in fear of not having. If anything, you should be in fear of not having the blessing or not having the hedge of Yahuwah. That should be the only fear. The rest of this world don't matter. It really don't. As I stated before, you don't even have to know numerology. You just look at pattern recognition. And the best way to look at pattern recognition is look at the pattern recognition of your own life. That's how I got here. I look at my own life. Okay, I would have this emotion when this event happened. And I could watch myself have the same emotion while this event happened. To a point, I was like, you know what? I'm going to break this pattern. I'm going to do something different and see where this goes. But like I said, some of you love the pattern that you're in because you like being coddled, you like being the victim, you like the attention of that pattern of being a victim, that pattern of being in fear. And you don't know how to break that pattern. So how can you ever find rest and peace if you don't understand the own pattern recognition of your own soul and your own actions and your own thoughts? And how could you ever see the patterns of this world to know that it's completely fake? I mean, they had to take off the comments of NASA's social media because too many people were waking up. And people keep saying, well, they just put it in your face. They're just showing you they don't care. Trust me, they care. They just too dumb enough to get it. They too dumb enough to cover it up. It's not that they want to expose you to it. Like, they expose you to the truth doing in their own way. But I think with this Artemis mission, they really wanted it to be believed. That woman, the astronaut Christine Koch, her name shows up in the IMDb registry. That she was one of the women of that women's survival group in Mad Max Fury Road. I forgot what whatever those women were that was on those motorcycles. She has gotten a credit. I don't know if she was in the scene or in the movie. I couldn't find her. But I know her name is in the IMDb database. So when she had that little interview and she just stops mid-sentence and she goes, oh no, that means somebody was talking to her on a headset. Instead of just cutting the whole feed and just deleting that section of the video, it got out. When they came back from going, what they say, 28,000 miles per hour. So that thing was scorching, flying with heat. They show a touchdown in water without any steam coming off this capsule. Then they must have thought people were real dumb because they had a NASA sticker or a NASA thing on it that didn't even singe, burn, melt, nothing. So it just tells you that I don't think they think that people are truly critical thinking right now. I think they really think people are still dumb. Like, this is the 80s and the 90s when they did these little trips to the moon or these little fake trips around the moon. They think people are still stuck in the 80s and 90s, I think. But more and more people are starting to share it. More and more people are starting to see it. And I'm telling you, when it gets to where they want it to be 100% believed, they're going to cut out social media. I think it's going to go dark for a while because they need that spell to sit in, especially if they want fear. They want you to do a bank run. They want you to riot or something like that. They would have to cut social media feed. So the last thing you see, you would assume that this is real. So you would have to tune in on your TV and not be able to connect with anybody on social media to find out if it's a hoax, if it's a psyop, it's a ritual, it's numerology behind it. You won't be able to have that connection. So you would just be accepting whatever you see on TV. And obviously, if you text somebody, you would just be telling them, hey, it's fake, and they would have to tell somebody else. But I think they're okay with that to a degree, because obviously we had Verizon shut down for almost 7 or 8 hours. I had a Verizon phone or a Verizon account, and I remember how it was shut down for 7 or 8 hours. So they're practicing doing a dry run of shutting down phones, shutting down cell towers, just so the psyop of the event can be believed. And that's what they want to do with the whole Project Bluebeam. They know it ain't going to be able to fool maybe 20% of the population, but they'd rather have it at 90% of the population being fooled without the 20% or the 10% telling everybody, moving it up to 40 to 50% being questionable. I think that's where we're heading. So really, it shouldn't affect you because there's nothing to be afraid of. We know that there are going to be riots. We know there are going to be wars, rumors of wars. We know there's going to be people stealing and murdering each other, but it's the wicked. So if a wicked man is given to a wicked woman or vice versa, what do you think the wicked is going to do to the wicked when they're not in a relationship? You're going to be like magnets. That's what they're going to be. They're going to be magnets. They're going to be whatever magnets do, attracting each other. So the destruction or the judgment that's going to happen, it's going to happen with the wicked. Now, we think wickedness is just people who are unaliving people or killing people or murdering people or raping people. We think that's what wickedness is. You know what wickedness is? Wickedness is going against that Torah. People who are not obeying the Shabbat. People who are not seeking and searching, trying to offer to the Most High Yahuwah, who are not participating in his feast days. Wickedness is doing everything the Roman Catholic Church instituted in religions. Religions is an institution of wickedness because it's a sin. It's a sinful religion. It's a sinful doctrine. That's the Most High's view of wickedness. If we know how righteous the Most High is, that means this entire world is drenched in wickedness. So when he sends out these ruachs, he sends out whatever ruachs that he wants to complete his mission, to do all his pleasure, it won't have nothing to do with you. Because your righteousness, your hedge will be repelling those who may look at you like they can do something to you, but they're not going to be able to do nothing.